the CIO of the U.S. has been trying to work around. You know, his 25-point plan included, you know, kind of mentions of, you know, how we're going to, you know, be more efficient, kind of take advantage of the latest technologies, you know, to help our employees do their jobs better. So it's, I think there's a recognition that there are issues here, but it's kind of easier to point out the problems than it is to solve them overnight.
And so, and one of the interesting conclusions you have in here is that the biggest collaboration tool that government uses is, well, you say it because it makes me wince when I have to say it. It's email, isn't it?
Right, and that's not something that's unique to government workers. I think it's something that makes a lot of people wince in a lot of industries. And it's something that's a legacy tool. People are comfortable using it, and it's, you know, everyone, or for the most part, most people, when they join an organization, they get an email account, and so that's the fastest and easiest way to communicate because it works, it crosses the firewall, and everyone kind of has an understanding of what the ground rules are.
A percentage of government folks using smartphones for business, only 9%.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of surprising and needs to go up, if you're thinking about trying to do things like enact, you know, kind of the teleworking initiatives that the Congress has passed, or, you know, kind of for that matter, you know, kind of create, you know, vehicles by which you can, you know, kind of talk to employees or to your constituents, you know, anytime, anywhere. So, you know, I think, you know, once again, this is part of that journey. You know, we're just at the beginning, and I think there are obvious, you know, kind of gaps here, whether it be in providing the technologies to make individuals mobile or enacting fully the policies that are going to make them mobile and efficient in a range of locations.
Did you see differences? Is this an age thing or not necessarily even that?
No, you know, age doesn't really factor into what people are actually issued. You know, your job is your job, whether you're, you know, 50 or 25, right? So this is more a matter of, you know, how the government looks at what its employees do on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, what it means to, you know, facilitate, you know, business continuity measures.
And yet, part of your study showed that government workers aren't that pleased with this situation. They actually want to be able to do more. They want these tools. And in fact, one of the stats here, 45% of government information workers are satisfied with the technology they use most. That compares with almost 60% of non-government workers.
Right, and I think that just kind of, it's interesting, and I think if you kind of look at the history of technology, you know, the innovators and, you know, kind of going back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s were always, you know, government agencies, particularly the Department of Defense, and that's been somewhat flipped on its head, and that we see, you know, kind of more innovation in terms of communication and collaboration technologies going into the private sector, and, you know, to an even greater extent, I think, you know, being, you know, in the hands of individual workers coming out of the consumer realm, so that, you know, government is playing catch up, and if you kind of take the you know, kind of the safe and cautious view of it, it makes sense in terms of in government you're dealing oftentimes with a lot of sensitive information, and so you want to be very sure that the endpoints that you're allowing to access that information can be controlled and are secure, and so I think you're seeing some of that here. You know, if you're thinking about laptops and allowing, you know, kind of, you know, telecommuting and things of that nature, it's, you know, how secure is that person's connection back into the office? You know, is our VPNing technology, you know, going to be able to handle, you know, kind of, you know, so many different individuals trying to access remotely our servers at one time? And then are we able to kind of, you know, guarantee that, you know, an individual that's working from a remote location, if they're using, for instance, their personal computer, isn't, you know, taking down, you know, information that can, you know, come back and hurt us? I mean, I think WikiLeaks, which has been a kind of a hot topic inside the Beltway and around capitals around the world,
yeah,
kind of points to this fact that, you know, you kind of allow some flexibility in how your employees and soldiers and whomever access this information, there is that chance that, you know, that one disgruntled individual, you know, can do real harm, you know, to real things like foreign policy.
As you share information, bad things can possibly happen.
Right, right. But it's once again, it's a balancing thing because, you know, this is an open and democratic society that, you know, information does need to be shared for individuals, constituents, particularly, to make reasoned decisions. So you kind of have to, you know, balance that idea of, you know, what is really important for national security with, you know, kind of what is important for people to know and understand. Likewise, you know, as you talk about open government initiatives and, you know, kind of more pointedly, the open government initiative that the president has put forward, if you're going to think about things like transparency, participation, and collaboration, which are the three pillars, you know, then you kind of have to live that. You take some of the bad with the good. You extend the full set of collaborative tools to your people. You do start to open up those portals for conversations with your constituents back in the districts. And you do work in a more, you know, transparent way so that people can get an understanding of how their government actually functions, how their tax dollars are being spent.
There seemed to be a little bit of a dichotomy here because, and I'll throw out two pieces of data from your report. 59% of government network and telecom decision makers saw providing remote access, virtual private network, something like that, as a cornerstone of remote work. They saw it as a high priority. And yet government workers themselves either didn't know they had it or didn't see it as important or didn't know how to use them. There seemed to be a disconnect there.
Sure. And once again, I think this is just a matter of, you know, how the government is, you know, kind of seeing what their employees do and provisioning them, you know, kind of accordingly. So I think, you know, while there are, you know, portions of the government workforce that, you know, for a while have, you know, kind of understood that they can access resources remotely, that functionality hasn't been extended to the broader workforce. And you mentioned it, but I think, you know, it bears noting again, particularly as we've entered this, you know, even more disastrous winter season.
Yeah.
That, you know, for business continuity purposes, you know, that ability to access information remotely and having the tools by which you can access information remotely becomes important to a broader section of the workforce. And Congress has, you know, obviously taken steps to, you know, kind of ensure that government agencies are taking this issue seriously and are, you know, kind of planning for that. But, you know, once again, there are hurdles. There's the technology hurdle, obviously, but there's also the cultural hurdle. You know, the idea that managers need to be able to see their employees to make sure they're doing their job correctly. You know, managers, you know, needing to be able to, you know, see their employees to make sure that they're actually on task. You know, and also to be able to feel that, you know, their employees are, or I guess kind of related topic, but that their employees are earning their money on a day-to-day basis are things that have to be, you know, overcome in order for you know, the actual people who are affected by these policies, you know, feel comfortable enacting them.
And I've heard Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, talk about this a number of times, and your survey reinforces what he says. One in three folks say, 39% say that they have better technology at home than they do at their office.
Sure. And I think that's, you know, what I alluded to a little bit earlier, just this idea that, you know, technical innovation is coming out of, you know, the private sector in the consumer realm.
Yeah.
You know, the iPhone wasn't something that was developed for the DoD, right? It was developed by Apple for consumers. And so, you know, individuals live, you know, kind of lives separate from their job, and federal employees live lives separate from the federal government. So they have these things in their personal lives. They have access to them, and that isn't translating into, you know, what they do professionally. And their neighbor down the street who works at, you know, maybe Lockheed Martin, you know, does have that capability, does have access to those technologies. And so there becomes the question in their mind, why isn't there parity?
And part of what, when I got through reading this and I was sort of sitting back and pondering it a little bit, part of what it all says to me is, if you thought you saw a lot of changes, if you're a government worker and you thought you saw a lot of changes in the past 10 years, really, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right. I think that's, you know, kind of the intention of what the federal government is striving to do now. It's to change the way business is done, to put it on a kind of a more 21st century footing. I believe the quote from the State of the Union was, you know, we're in an information age, and so you kind of have to govern as if you're in an information age, and kind of giving your information workers the tools to to thrive in that era and to be able to react to a constituency that is kind of empowered with these technologies, means that you have to set the policies for that to happen going forward. And I think that's what you see with Mr. Kundra's kind of 25-point plan. I think that's what you see with the Open Government Initiative, and I think that's what you see with legislation like the Telework Improvement Act.